heard the woman calling for help. BBC News.
9-1 Radio 4, Thomas Hardy's classic tale, Far From the Madding Crowd.
Joseph Poorgrass.
Did you squeezing close to the carriage when it come by?
Aye. I wanted a good look at he that should sit in judgment.
Did you notice my Lord Judge's face?
Oh, I did. I looked hard at him.
And what did he make of him? Mm.
I believe there was mercy in his eyes, neighbours.
You watched the clouds gather for long enough.
Oh, 'tis all omens with you, John Cobbin.
Though mistress's marriage were made in haste.
Nah. That's right. Yeah. And I ain't no recipe for happiness. No.
Go on. On with thee, you loafer.
Frank, don't be too hard on her. The hill is steep, and she has already brought us all the way from Budmouth at a canter.
I should be hard on all horses on such a day. If it weren't for the rain, I should have been well off. But
the time of year has come for changeable weather. So to bet on a race...
With what? You to tell me you know best.
I know some things, Frank.
Come on, there. The fact is, these autumn races, the ruin of everybody. Black as my hat before the last race was run. Horses, riders, people blown all about.
How much, Frank? How much in a month?
100 or thereabouts. Oh, turn on the waterworks, just like you.
100?
100 is all.
It is madness to squander my money so.
It is our money. Bathsheba Troy. I'd known what a chicken-hearted creature you are.
Then what?
What indeed. Come on, there. Go on. She may as well be miserable as her passengers.
Mind, someone approaches.
I can handle a whip safely. Besides, I've no time for tramping. Come on, girl.
Hello.
Move along.
Please, do you know at what time Castle Bridunian House closes at night?
Will he not answer?
No,
I don't know.
Oh, the poor thing. May we not help her, Frank?
Very well, stay where you are and attend to the horse since you have so much concern for dumb beasts. Walk her to the top and I'll see the woman.
Thank you, Frank.
Hey!
Oh, Frank. Frank!
Fanny. How on earth did you come here tonight? I thought you were miles away or dead.
Is that you and her? I heard of you married. Oh, Frank.
You look so beaten down. Have you any money?
No. None. Nothing at all.
He is wretched. There. The merest farthing I have left. I wish I had more, but I have only what my wife gives me.
Oh, Frank. What has become of us?
I know. I know, you are for the Union House tonight.
I thought to.
Yes, perhaps tonight. I can't do anything better. Look, sleep here tonight at 10 in the morning. Meet me on Grey's Bridge, just out of the town. I'll bring all the money I can.
You will rescue me?
Yes, my love, yes. I am a brute, I know, but I must go. Goodbye till then.
I'll meet you there. Frank?
Give me the reins. Walk on. Walk on.
You spoke for a long time?
No time at all.
Do you know who that woman was? Frank?
I do.
Then who was she?
No, I merely know her by sight. Come on there! Come on!
Liddy, is that you?
Bathsheba, dear. Is it right to sit in another room from your husband of an evening?
I was only reading, Frank.
This room's terribly cold. Come down by the fire, darling.
I will, then. Is Lady downstairs?
I've sent her home. She lives with us. I fear more for what she can eat here than for any love of you or I. Oh,
Liddy has always been the best of servants.
Liddy's a Weatherby girl, and I know the locals well. Let me hold your book while you descend.
Oh, thank you.
Bathsheba, my love. I wonder, can you lend me £10?
£10?
Yes, the fact is I want it rather badly.
For racing. Frank, can you not stay at home? Is there not enough to fascinate you here?
The money's not for racing.
Then what is it for?
Bathsheba, you're wrong. Your husband with such a suspicious manner.
I have a right to know if I pay.
No, a joke is all very well, but don't go too far. You may regret it.
I already regret that my romance has come to an end.
Romances end at marriage.
That is not the talk of one who loves me.
Well, I believe you hate me.
No, I only hate your faults.
Then set yourself to cure them, darling. I am yours perpetually. You may anatomize them and excise every one.
Oh, that is all I have desired since our marriage.
Well, have what you desire. Only lend me £10 for a little difficulty. We'll strike a balance and be friends, and I will strive to be worthy of your love.
Well, I have about that here for housekeeping.
Thank you, my darling. I shall have gone away before you're in to breakfast tomorrow. Oh,
there was a time when it would have taken a great deal to drag you away.
Well, there are many more hours before the morning. Let me see.
Frank, whose is that?
What?
The lock of hair in your watch case.
Yours, of course. Cut by my sword. I'd forgotten I had it there.
No, it was yellow.
Nonsense.
I know it was yellow. Tell me now, or you have no money else, ever. Tell me now.
It is the hair of a young woman I was once going to marry. I'd quite forgotten it was there. Forgive me, please.
Tell me her name.
I cannot do that.
Is she married now?
No.
But she is alive.
For all I know.
And she is pretty?
Well, she is, yes.
Oh! Burn it, Frank. Burn the hair for me, for all we mean to each other.
There are ties and there are reparations to be made.
Is this the woman we met? The wife on the road?
Yes.
I knew. But where is she, Frank?
I don't know. But there are reparations.
So when did Mistress find out about Fanny Robin?
I believe 'twas I who was to blame.
No, no blame. T'was just the cold truth to be faced.
Are you quite well, ma'am?
Very well, Liddy, thank you.
Let me prepare you some breakfast inside. You look proper poorly.
I've little appetite.
You must eat, ma'am, or I'll worry. I'll make some porridge.
Mistress?
Good morning, Joseph.
I have sad news, ma'am. Young Fanny Robbins, dead, in the Union.
No. Whatever was the cause?
General Neshness of constitution, I should think. She never could stand no hardship.
My uncle was her master.
Aye, and she belongs to our parish by law, so Mr. Baldwood is going to send a wagon to collect the body this afternoon.
No, I mustn't let him. Fanny belongs here. See that the new spring wagon is washed and ready. We must mark her passing, though we could not help her life.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, and carry with you some evergreens and flowers to put on the coffin. Many. Bury her in them.
I will, ma'am.
How long has she lived at the Union? I thought her far away.
She were at a garrison town t'other side of Wessex, then picking up a living sempster in Melchester. 'Tis supposed she traipsed every step of the way from there to the Union House Saturday last.
She walked from Melchester?
'Tis supposed so, ma'am.
Did she walk along our turnpike road, across the hill?
Ma'am, shall I get Liddy free? 'Tis all a shock, I know.
No, you may go, Joseph.
Ma'am.
Joseph, Whose sweetheart did you say?
I never, and I don't know.
Go on now, Joseph. Liddy? Liddy?
Mum?
Liddy, Fanny Robin has passed away in Casterbridge Workhouse.
I know, ma'am. But you look so pale this morning, I hesitated to tell.
Well, Joseph will take a cart to collect her. Oh, don't cry, Liddy. There is nothing to be done now.
No, ma'am.
What colour was her hair, Liddy?
Beautiful. Real golden there, but packed away under a cap you'd not notice.
Her sweetheart was a soldier?
Yes, ma'am. From Sergeant Troy's regiment.
Go along, Liddy. It is sad, but there's work to be done.
Oh, 'twas a melancholy job to bring the coffin on home, up Yalbury Hill. Forgive me the chills. I stopped at the Buck's Head for some courage, and 'twas Gabriel Oak found me, and... Well, he'd be a more sainted man than me.
Than us all.
No,
no shame, Joseph Poorgrass.
Except for the drink you took.
Labentall!
Do it matter now, Labentall? Huh? Do it matter?
Shepherd Oak, you bring the coffin at last.
Gabriel, what has happened? Where is Joseph?
He's gone to his own. The job of collecting has borne down on him.
Yes, well, it is a dismal mission. The funeral will have to be tomorrow now.
Poor thing. We shall bring her coffin into my house.
Yes.
Mum, please call some men to assist.
I will, Gabriel, and thank you.
There are a fine many flowers to be moved.
There are. Mistress Troy was generous in arranging Fanny's journey.
Oh, and a poorhouse death will have a name chalked on the coffin. Just check you have the right one there.
Fanny Robin. And child.
Ah.
Well, as Mrs. Troy has been generous, may I take the liberty to repay her?
I am no witness in this case, Gabriel.
And here lies Fanny Robin, alone.
I'll sit up for Master if you like, ma'am. Fanny was such a nesh young thing that her spirit couldn't appear if it tried.
No, you go to bed. I'll sit up for him myself till 12 o'clock.
Very well, then. Good night.
Liddy, have you heard anything strange said of Fanny?
No, ma'am. Not a word. Ma'am?
Good night, Liddy. Go on.
Ma'am, Marianne did tell me of a story that have just cropped up since Fanny passed. But 'tis wicked, and I want not to repeat it.
You must. Tonight of all nights, Liddy, you must.
It said she died in childbirth.
I don't believe it.
No one believes it, ma'am. We'd have surely heard more of it if it were true.
Surely. Surely. Good night now.
Good night, ma'am. Don't upset yourself about poor Fanny.
No, I shan't. You could speak and tell me your secret. Fanny. Oh, Lord, forgive me for what I have done.
Well? What?
I must go.
Where? Someone has died? In God's name, who has died in this house?
Let me out!
No, stay. Let me see. Fanny. And...
Don't kiss them, Frank. Frank, I can't bear it. I love you better than she did. Don't kiss them. Kiss me too, Frank. Kiss me too.
I've been a bad, black-hearted man.
And that woman has been your victim, but I know less.
That woman is more to me dead as she is than you ever were or are or can be. She is all to me.
What am I?
Nothing. A ceremony before a priest doesn't make a marriage. And I'm not morally yours.
And did I hear young Liddy found your mistress?
Aye, it was Liddy. She heard it all, but were too afraid to go down until he was gone from the house. She couldn't find mistress that night. Searched all over for her. It was the morning she found her in Yellowing Wood.
Mistress! Mistress!
Liddy?
Oh, mistress! Ma'am, I'm so glad I found you.
I'm nowhere.
What are you doing in such a place?
Resting in my bed. You can't reach me, the marsh will sink you.
It will bear me up, I think.
It will eat you. It will eat anyone that tries.
Let me try. Oh, Mum.
Here I am, safe.
It is like the last place on earth. Fungus and rotten leaf and the slime on the water.
It's my bed. My marriage bed. The bed I should have. There's nothing to be done.
Oh, you poor thing, miss.
Liddy, never marry.
I thought when you weren't home, something cruel must have happened.
Is Fanny taken away?
She's been buried.
Before all?
There were many there. I said you were ill, miss.
My husband was there?
You were not. Ma'am, you'd better come in and have something to eat and some warmth.
Liddy, if you ever marry, don't you flinch. Stand your ground and be cut to pieces.
Oh, mistress.
He'd had a tombstone constructed like you might have seen in a town for someone with money.
What was he doing at the grave?
By the light of a lantern, he'd been planting bulbs. Snowdrops, hyacinths, violets, double daisies. I asked him if he wanted helping and he just swore at me. And Frank Troy went to sleep, they all thinks, in the porch of the church. And as he did so, the heavens did open.
Yeah. No.
When the sergeant woke and he stumbled outside, it was all ruined. That's what's said. It was all ruined.
Rainwater gargoyle's broken and the torrent has poured right onto the grave, see? The ground's churned and the plants, well, even the fresh stone disturbed.
Whose grave is it?
Mom?
A fresh stone?
Oh, Mom.
Erected by Francis Troy. Beloved memory of Fanny Robin.
It came astonishing to me when I saw it.
Wow. Well, there is little astonishing to me, Gabriel. Please, could you fill the hole and restore what you can? The plants won't be rescued, but the monument is undamaged, I think.
Yes, it is. I'll do it right away.
Has my husband been here this morning?
No, Mum.
I see Mr. Troy on the Budmouth Road that morning with a brow like thunder.
You told Mistress?
I told her. I was the last to see him.
Well, Henry Frey was last, wasn't it?
When did he see him?
Talked to her before the storm.
I seen him long after that. I told her I seen him as her... Well, her was cleaning up the grave. Mm. Wiping down the headstone. That was the thing to watch.
Well, her did recover.
Twas a cleaning seemed to bring her round. Oh.
Did it, though? So bad a time.
No, whichever 'twas, she did go on.
Not till he were gone a while, and then her was back relying on Gabriel.
You think she weren't right in the head, Lavin?
Well, I ain't said that, but she weren't so sure as her put on. And Gabe had been asked to take a hand over at Mr. Boldwood's.
No, that flock had got ragged and poor.
No, Mistress was back at market, though.
Till her got her news.
Liddy, I have a farmer interested in 3 of the ewes. He wears the broad-brimmed hat across the auction ring.
You should speak with him, miss.
Yes. I wish I'd asked Gabriel to accompany me.
I seen Mr. Boldwood here in the back of the market earlier. He might help.
Oh, no, Liddy, no. I haunt him, I think. Oh, perhaps he haunts me.
I'm looking for Mrs. Troy. Is that her there?
Yes, that's the young lady, I believe.
Mrs. Troy?
Yes?
I have some awkward news to break.
Is this some attempt at foreclosure? I assure you the rent is set off for the next 3 months.
Ma'am, it is another matter entire. I would urge you to step into the stateroom of the Market Hotel here.
No, speak in front of all. My business has no secrets.
Ma'am, it concerns your husband.
There is no surprise there.
Ma'am, he is drowned.
No. It is not true. It cannot be true.
Oh, ma'am.
Oh. Hope, look to her there. Stand away. Let me through. Mrs. Troy, Liddy, keep people away and let me revive her.
Yes, Mr. Boldwood.
Mrs. Troy. Bathsheba. What is the news?
Oh, Mr. Troy was drowned this week while bathing in Lulwyn Cove. Oh. Coast Guard found his clothes and brought them into Budmouth yesterday.
Come, my dear. Here, mind my way. You need air and privacy.
Careful.
Let me into the state room there. Let me in.
Yeah. Bathsheba, I will ensure you are perfectly safe, and we shall be quite private for you to recover, my dear. Dear Bathsheba.
Where is Liddy?
Ma'am, I'm with you.
Ma'am, I am acutely sorry for your distress.
Oh. No, I'm not distressed. It is a shock, but I am sure that Frank is still alive.
Ma'am, his clothes were found. I bear them in this box.
Oh, ma'am.
Let me see them.
Here. And there was a witness, a doctor from Budmouth. He saw a bather carried along in the current outside the mouth of the cove and...
these are his clothes.
Guessed there was but a poor chance for him.
Frank Troy is a strong man.
He followed along the shore in the same direction, but dusk had set in and nothing further could be seen.
Thank you, sir.
I wish mine had not been such a melancholy mission.
Thank you. Sir, I will escort you out. I'd like to thank you for your trouble. Now...
Liddy, has he done this deliberately? To make us think him dead in some grief, some penance for the poor girl?
Oh, miss, this has been such a shock to you.
Well, you are sure in your opinion, Liddy. Strange that I should not be.
I'm only sure I don't know, miss.
If my husband is dead and gone, then I am mistress of my fate. And I have much to do to recover my position in the world. Let us leave this place before Mr. Boldwood seeks to comfort and secure any further. Here, help me close this.
Miss.
I will drive myself. And now. Now, Liddy. Oh.
drowned.
Whatever Liddy said, Mistress never agreed. Lord knows what she were thinking.
And was it your Liddy who first told us of what was afoot?
Liddy knew it all, and kept a watch for the months that followed.
Oh. And Gabe Oak.
Aye. Well, till Greenhill Fair.
Here, Lydia Smallbury. Have you seen Gabriel Oak there riding to field?
What of him, Marianne?
Shining boots with barely a hob in him. And he hardly knows the name of a smock frock. I stand dormant with wonder to see him.
You don't sound like a woman that's dormant.
I'm sure he should be thinking of a wife now.
There's only one he has a mind to.
Oh, that old tale. They say he was a farmer once and knowed Mrs. Troy when she were landless.
Mm, took a shine so far as to propose him.
Well, damned as he may be, he shan't escape the fact that he were better to turn his eye my way than hers.
Oh, here, look, Farmer Bulwood's crossing field.
He'd be coming towards us.
Don't make me laugh, Marianne. Stand a little farther off.
How do you know he ain't come to talk to me?
Because all I want to know is if Mrs. Troy is back from her aunt's. 2 months away will have been like the trials of Job to him. Go on now.
Lydia? Marianne?
Morning, Mr. Bulwood.
Mr. Bulwood?
Glad to see you out of doors.
Sir.
And helping to keep things tidy?
We're doing more than that, Mr. Bulwood.
Yes. I hope Mrs. Troy is quite well after her long absence.
Oh, quite well, sir.
And cheerful, I suppose.
Yes, cheerful as she can be in the circumstances.
Mrs. Troy puts much confidence in you, Lydia, and very wisely.
She do, sir. I've been with her all through her troubles and was with her at the time of Mr. Troy's going and all. And if she were to marry again, I expect I should bide with her.
She promises that you shall?
I judge on my own account.
Yes, yes. When she alludes to the possibility of marrying again...
Well, she never do allude to it, sir.
Oh, of course not. Needn't take such long reaches with your rake, Lydia. Short and quick ones are best.
Oh.
Of course, she might marry at once, in every reasonable person's opinion. Whatever the lawyers might say.
Have you been to ask them?
Liddy, you needn't stay here a minute later than you wish, so Mr. Oak says. I'm now going on a little further. Good afternoon, Marianne.
Afternoon.
Guinness, 34 now.
Ah, quiet, Mrs. Troy.
I am tired. Country girl at Great Greenhill Fair.
Oak is proving himself a fine servant to us both now.
Yes, I have much reason to thank him. Gabriel would have been my guard were he not detained to sell.
He may not be away from the fair until midnight and gone.
No. So thank you, Mr. Baldwood.
Mrs. Troy, will you marry again someday?
I have not seriously thought of any such subject.
Yet your husband has been dead for almost 1 year.
Well, his death was never proved.
But you have no reasonable doubt, surely?
Yes, I have. And am far from thinking of marriage with another. It is a close night, is it not?
I think you never liked me.
I did, Mr. Baldwood, and I respected you too.
Do you now?
Yes.
Which? Do you like me or do you respect me?
Mr. Baldwood, it is difficult for a woman to express her feelings in language which is chiefly made by men to express theirs. My treatment of you was inexcusable and thoughtless.
You might still repair the old wrong.
I would hope to be able to one day.
You know that without further proof you may marry again in 6 years from the present.
But where shall we all be by that time?
I am a middle-aged man, willing to protect you for the remainder of our lives. If you make a bargain to set things right, for a far ahead time, there is no fault to be found with you as a woman.
Mr. Baldwood, I have been through much, and I am not in a position.
It is only a little promise. If you marry again, to marry me. If and when.
I may say that I will never marry another man whilst you wish me to be your wife.
Then let it stand in simple words. In 6 years, you will be my wife.
If, sir, you can take happiness in such an act of friendship for a woman who doesn't esteem herself as she did, and has little love left...
Promise.
I shall consider, if I cannot promise soon.
Soon is perhaps never.
No, it is not. Christmas? Christmas, we'll say.
Christmas. And we'll say no more about it. Until that time.
And is my flock reckoned as quite separate from Mr. Baldwood's, Gabriel?
Yes, ma'am. In all these measures and calculations.
And is your arrangement with Mr. Baldwood a successful one?
Oh, he seems he trusts me, ma'am. And he's happy that I should manage on his behalf in many things. He has advice when he needs it.
On farming matters?
Yes.
On anything else, Gabriel?
From time to time, matters of private concern.
I've agreed to consider his offer of marriage after the term in law that confirms my husband is dead.
I think we have finished these accounts now, ma'am.
And the most mournful reason of all for my agreeing is that I believe that if I don't give my word, he'll go out of his mind.
Truly, do you?
I am grieved and troubled to my soul about it. I believe I hold that man's future in my hands.
Well, I do think this much. That his life is a total blank whenever he isn't hoping for it.
Is it wrong?
It is an uncommon agreement, but... You do not care for him?
Love is wanting, yes. Love is an utterly bygone, sorry, worn-out, miserable thing with me.
And the real sin lies in thinking of wedding with a man you don't love, honest and true.
I must get back now. Good evening, Gabriel.
Evening, Mum.
She were pledged, then?
If she were free.
And we witnessed it with our own eyes come Christmas.
The fire was a-roaring.
It was cooking and roasting and basting and all.
Oh, I seen a hog that he slaughtered the day before.
Holly and ivy brought in.
There's a big old bough of mistletoe.
And we know who that was for.
Farmer Boldwood having a party. It was like me running a race with one of these.
Yes, Oak, I am wearing a new coat. It is for my party.
Indeed, sir.
I shall, of course, see you here tonight?
Yes, sir, though it may not be early, sir.
Good. And you'll make merry. I'm determined that neither expense nor trouble shall be spared.
I'm glad indeed to see such a change in you.
Yes. I must own it. I am bright tonight. Perhaps my day is dawning at last.
I hope it'll be a long and fair one.
Yes. Oak, my hands are shaky. Can't tie this neckerchief properly, but perhaps you'll tie it for me.
Sir?
Oh, it's nothing. Is there any late knot in fashion?
We don't know, sir.
Does a woman keep a promise, Gabriel?
She may, sir.
We seem to have shifted positions. I have become the young and hopeful man, and you the old and cynical. But you know women more than me. She may.
You honor my understanding too much. She may keep such if it is made with an honest meaning to repair a wrong.
Ah, I see. Well, she is reluctant to remarry within 7 years of her husband's disappearance, but she has implied that she will ratify an engagement tonight.
7 years?
Oh, it's nothing like. It is 5 years, 8 months, and a few days. Now, I must get on.
Oh, ma'am, you look lovely.
Do I, Liddy? Everybody will think I'm out to captivate Mr. Boldwood.
You can't well be dressed plainer than you are unless you be in a sackcloth. It have been 14 months and gone.
If I wore a light dress, people would say things about me. A watched woman must have very much circumspection to retain only a very little credit.
But you must go now.
Yes. Yes, I shall make my appearance, of course.
Well, we may make an enjoyment of it if we do try.
I'm so foolishly agitated. I can't tell why. I don't know what's the matter. I feel wretched at one time and buoyant at another.
Suppose Mr. Bulwood should ask you to run away with him. What would you do, ma'am?
Liddy, no. I won't hear joking on any such matter.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
No marrying for me. Not for many a year. Now, get my cloak, for it's time to go.
Oak, before you leave, I wanted to mention the share arranged in the farm for your stewardship is too small, and I shall increase your proportion. Then, if I marry Mrs. Troy...
Pray don't speak of it, sir. There's many a slip, as they say.
But the feeling I have for increasing your share is on account of what I know of you, Oak.
Sir?
Your interest in her was once more than that of bailiff for employer.
Sir?
But you have behaved like a man, and I, as a sort of successful rival, should like to show my sense of friendship under what must have been a great pain for you.
That's not necessary, sir. I have got used to such as that.
Liddy, stand close and hold my hand.
Ma'am, never worry.
At last. Mrs. Troy. At last.
Good evening, Mr. Boldwood.
Good evening, and welcome. Lydia, welcome.
'Tis Liddy, Mr. Boldwood.
Yes, Liddy. Mrs. Troy, step inside. I asked them only to begin to play when you had arrived. For that meant that the party had begun.
Hardly, Mr. Boldwood.
Come now, men. Find your ladies for a dance. Come now, as you love me.
Did ever a man look more like the turkey at Christmas? Trussed and stuffed and ready for cooking.
And just as uncomfortable in his new clothes as mistress looks at his side.
I say that I ain't dancing, I'm drinking. And I did.
Mrs. Troy, I've been trying to get an opportunity to speak to you.
I have been present all the evening.
You know, perhaps, what I have to ask.
If it concerns farming business...
Now, that's evasion.
I am here. You are speaking with me.
Bathsheba, I proposed a mere business compact between two people who are beyond the influence of passion. You are still very beautiful.
But I am a changed woman, an unhappy woman, and not as you recall me.
But you owe it to me. Promise yourself to me.
And you'll press me no more.
Then I'll leave it to time.
Very well. In 6 years from this day, I'll marry you, if he does not return.
What do a few months and days matter? Though it is not my hope, that is my sure conviction. Now, you'll take this as a token from me?
Oh, no, I cannot wear a ring. I cannot let people see.
Wear it just tonight. To please me.
Very well, then. I will tonight, if you wish it so earnestly. Now loosen my hand.
I am happy now.
bless you.
That night, of all nights, Labineer thought to have espied the man.
I don't know as I believed you, Dan. You a man of fancies sometimes, Laban.
And you wouldn't come near the party.
Well, I couldn't for my soul interfering. Throw damp upon it.
But you had seen the man alive.
Tis what I thought. And what I wish I'd told.
Tis what Laban Tall told me, neighbours.
What is it you're in doubt about, sir?
Tis something Laban Tall heard of, that's all, sir.
I would think from your looks that it was something very dreadful indeed.
No. Nobody's dead, sir.
I wish somebody was.
What did you say, Poorgrass? If you have anything to say on this happiest of nights, speak out. If not, we must get up another dance.
We've nothing to tell, but what might be something?
Bathsheba, please, come here to me. The men have something to say.
What is it, men?
Ah, 'twill be Oak, who we have missed this evening.
Mr. Boldwood, Mrs. Try is wanted.
Oh, well, I am quite ready to leave. Though I didn't tell them to send for me.
You must not leave now.
It is a stranger, ma'am.
A stranger?
Well, then ask him to come in. Come in. Come in and drink a Christmas cup with us, stranger. It's a night for celebration, and I hope the news you bring for us is kind.
It is kind news. Of a return. I have been away and travelled far. I am returned and ready to claim again what is mine. I have come for my wife.
I knew it.
Bathsheba, come home with me. Come, madam, do you hear what I say?
Bathsheba, go with your husband.
I always knew.
If you won't come, then I shall drag you.
Get the gun from him!
Stop him!
No! Stand away! Well, now it makes no odds. But there is another way for me to die. My dear Bathsheba.
What? No.
Let him go!
Dr. Zier.
A bad night, Doctor.
Yes, Shepherd Oak has reported to the authorities.
And is a hue and cry set in motion?
There's no need, as the doctor here will confirm.
Is Boldwood dead?
As good as, for he has given himself up at Casterbridge Jail.
I believe I must have overtook him over Mellstock Hill as I rode to alert you.
Yes, well, I must attend to the body.
Come this way, sirs. Mrs. Troy, it is the surgeon and the parson and Shepherd Oak. Well, all is done. And anyone in the world may see him now.
Ma'am, you should not have moved the body. There must be an inquest.
I would not have had my dear husband's corpse by neglected for all the world to stare at. But now I will leave you with him.
I still have it not straight how Frank Troy came to return.
Never drowned it. Mistress were right.
He drifted from the bay he swam in. But he were picked up by a boat from a clipper ship on passage to America. And he went aboard with them, thinking his life to be better for a new world and a new start.
So, how did he ever come back to claim her?
All his military skills was all he had to survive on. They became a sideshow act and earned him money whilst the sun shone. It was winter that brought him low and brought him back. He saw her in the crowd at Green Hill Fair. And he must have had it in his mind to come back for what he lost.
Hey, neighbours.
Henry. You start like foxes scenting the hounds.
Henry Frey, we wait on Shepherd Oak with news of the trial.
You know what was found at Mr. Bullwood's farm ahead of it?
You have the floor here, Henry Frey.
They've been all through his house, locked closet. What did they find inside?
Tell on, Heber.
Clothes, silk satins, dresses of all kinds, and even ermines and sables and stuff I ain't heard of, except to know it's like gold in clothes. All bought round the place from Bath and Bristol and from Budmouth, and even they reckon shipped in from France.
There weren't never a woman living there.
Malster, age and experience is counting for nothing. Everything was packaged up and labelled with a name and a date 6 years hence. Bathsheba Everdeen, writ on one and all.
So he's as mad as the moon.
And has been a time. Just you'd not have knowed. You'd have took it for him being a brooding kind of countryman.
Deep depths. Deep depths, aye. Neighbours.
Won't stop him hanging, I reckon.
Yeah. Or if it do, it'll be for something worse.
What news, Shepherd Oak? He's mad, isn't he?
Do you have a drink there, Maltster?
Cups in the hearth.
Thank you. He's pleaded guilty. And he's sentenced to death.
Also, raise a petition, Guy.
No time. I don't know as who'd sign it, but there's folks in Weatherby that knowed him and wasn't related to Mr. Troy.
Mr. Bullwood never made many friends. Not in Casterbridge, for sure, not over the counter.
They were all in the court, the whole town watching him, like he'd be one of Napoleon's spies come ashore. I swear I was the only friend in the whole place.
You see, there's no time.
No. Carpenters were out on the jail gates as I rode away to set for morning.
He was a good enough man to me.
Aye.
Joseph, how is the mistress?
Well, there ain't been any change, according to Liddy. Not her body, but her mind. It's her fault, she says. That's according to Liddy.
Is she downstairs, at least?
No, she's very little better than she was at Christmas. Shall I go on and say you're back?
Not yet. I've had 2 hours with the man just now, and I don't know as I can speak of it to anyone right as it is. Levin.
Yes?
I want you to ride to town last thing tonight. Leave here about 9 and wait a while there, getting back here for 12. If nothing's been heard by 11 tonight, they say there's no chance at all.
I will.
How was it though, Guy? Sitting with him?
It's like sitting in the mouth of hell with a poor soul that's about to enter.
Too dead on account of her.
If I speak like that again, Henry Frey, there'll be a third loss to this village, and like as hell, he won't be missed.
Her sufferings have been dreadful. She deserves anyone's pity.
And you wouldn't know her, says my Liddy. Her eyes are so miserable. And she's not the same woman. 2 years ago, she were a romping girl, and now this.
Ah, Caney.
Neighbours. There's a verdict. A rider come from Casterbridge. He'd be saved. Mr. Baldwood, he's not to die. He'd be mad and it'd be confinement during Her Majesty's pleasure.
Confinement. Well, that might be a worse fate.
No. No, that's just. That's right.
Perhaps. I think that people are now used to you being about more. And you are used to being among them.
A little.
Ma'am, all would like to see you quite restored.
Liddy, I am resigned to go about as a woman much talked of and scorned, and yet still a woman who holds the reins of life for many. I am not afraid to be abjured.
I shouldn't think you are, ma'am, but
you are no target of looks and words, are you, Liddy?
No, miss.
And as I am, it worries me not. Other than that chief among the recusants would seem to be Mr. Oak.
Shepherd Oak?
He has no more time for me.
He is your manager still?
Yet he never comes to speak for accounts or farm matters other than at hours when my presence is least to be expected. Whenever there's a matter to discuss, he sends a note. And now, I have here a formal letter to say he will not be renewing his engagement on the farm for the coming Lady Day.
shall never have the energy to do all he has done for me. I shall never be able to depend on his...
devotion?
There's no devotion now, Liddy. There is a despising, and that is all.
Well, I'm here, ma'am. You have a true friend in me.
You may go to bed now, Liddy. I shall wait a little longer.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, mistress.
Not your mistress much longer, Gabriel.
No, I suppose not. But come in, come in. I'll get a light.
Oh, no, not on my account. There is plenty from the fire.
Huh. Tis seldom I have a lady visitor. Will you sit down, please? I'm sorry that my chairs all have wooden seats.
Thank you. You'll think it strange that I've come.
No, not at all.
Gabriel, I've been uneasy in the belief that I've offended you and that you are leaving my employ on that account.
No, no. You could not offend me.
And why are you going away?
Well, 'tis for the things people have said about us, truth be told.
What things?
I cannot tell you.
Gabriel, you've played the part of mentor to me many times. It'd be wiser to say.
That I'm sniffing about here and waiting for poor Boldwood's farm with the thought of getting you someday. Marrying you in plain British.
Ah. Oh. I didn't know that was what they thought.
Well, you asked me to tell you.
Well, such a thing is absurd. Too soonly absurd.
Of course it is. Too absurd. Ridiculous. You'd be the last person. I'd be the last person. Best go on now, after all, with what I plan. Stepping away. And you'd best go then, now.
Too soon were the words I used.
Beg pardon for correcting, but you said too absurd.
I beg your pardon, too. It doesn't matter a bit, but I only said too soon. Too soon.
Then, darn it, if I only knew one thing, once for all, whether you would let me love you and win you and marry you, if I only knew that...
But you never will.
Why,
Bathsheba? Because you never ask.
No, but once.
Yes, when I was young and foolish and you were... We were both untested by time.
Was ever anybody so provoking? I have been all thoughts for emigrating.
Please don't.
I fancy the way we were mentioned together might injure your good name.
Well, I'm not sure I have one.
Oh, you don't know the heat and fret I have been caused by it.
I think I do. I think I have shared it. Why, Gabriel, it seems exactly as I had come courting you.
And quite right, too. After all the dancing of... done at your heels.
But I must be going now, or I'll be missed.
And I'll walk with you up the hill.
Yes. Please do.
And we shall have the whole village talking till they drop.
Liddy.
Yes, ma'am?
Wake up.
But it isn't six yet and you asked me to wake you.
Come to my room as soon as you can. I want you to give my hair a good brushing.
Whatever's going on, ma'am?
Well, Gabriel is coming here today to dine with me.
Just Mr. Oak and nobody else?
No.
You two alone?
Yes.
But ma'am, you know a woman's good name is such a perishable article.
Oh, there's no threat to my name.
You may say that, and he may be your farm manager, but still, miss, I says to
Liddy,
you...
Liddy! We are to be married.
Oh! Soul's alive!
Oh, well, I know mine is not the best history.
No, miss, I mean, what news?
Oh, good.
Oh, it makes my heart go bumpity bump.
Mine too, Liddy. Mine too. It's done.
Aye. The work of a few years, complete in a few moments.
Yay! Here we are. I knew those fellas were up to something.
So much for a secret, Liddy.
Jan Coggan and Joseph Poorgrass are at the bottom of this, I'll wager.
You might be right.
Well, come up and have something to eat and drink with us.
Not today, thank you all the same. But we'll call it a more seemly time.
If you could send a drop of something down to Warren's, we shan't decline.
Of course.
A bit and a drop should be sent to Warren's for you at once. I was saying we might get a bit of a salute to my wife, but now...
Faith! The man had learnt to say my wife in a wonderful, natural way. Considering how very youthful he is in wedlock, eh, neighbours?
Young in wedlock, yet old in its pursuit.
Is there any wonder? When the pursuit be so provoking?
In part 3 of Far From the Madding Crowd, by Thomas Hardy, dramatised by Graham White, Bathsheba was played by Alex Tregear, Gabriel Oak by Sean Dooley, and Boldwood by Toby Jones. Sergeant Troy was Patrick Kennedy, Liddy was Lizzie Watts, and Fanny was Hannah John Carman. The maltster was played by Robert Blythe, Jan was Joe Sims, Joseph was Sam Alexander, and Henry was Patrick Brennan. Billy was played by Don Gillet, Kane was Harry Livingston, and Marianne was Amaka Okafor. The musicians were Chris Davis and Laurel Swift, and the sound design was by Colin Guthrie. Far From the Madding Crowd was directed by Jessica Dromgoole.
Until the 11th of November, you can catch up with all three episodes via the Radio 4 website. Book Club is next after the news, but first, Carrie Gracie looks east.
If all countries are shaped by their past, then none more than China. After all, it's got at least as much history as anyone else, and it's crunching into modernity at breakneck speed. We've assembled a cast of rebels and emperors, poets, warlords, concubines and eunuchs to bring the past to life and to show how it drives China's worldview and its behaviour today. That's China as History is My Witness. Tomorrow at 1:45.
This is BBC Radio 4.